This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, welcome to it. It's another Thursday morning. It's time for the weekly mashup. You're in studio with myself, T. Masha. That's Tumisho, for those who don't know. And
Mr.
also
T-Mash.
The beautiful, the lovely, the stunning, the gorgeous,
ow,
the wonderful,
ah.
The ethereal. I'm trying to think of other words, but I can't think of them. The fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I think you've used up your vocabulary.
Delicious.
No.
That delicious.
Okay, I'll just say my name now. Candace Mama.
That delicious. Candace. Isn't it, but that would be like
that
really freaky, right?
Awkward.
If like a really old man called you.
Oh, it has happened.
Candace. You are so delicious.
That sounds like Nelson Mandela. That
okay,
would be
sorry.
That would be
let
very
me not. I wasn't trying to go
that's
for Nelson.
Like
I was trying to go for a Jay-Z voice.
Oh, is it? No,
but
you must.
I can't have a standard politician
must.
Voice.
Oh,
that's
damn.
Like so wrong. They're delicious. They're delicious. Tell me when I'm in the
no,
bumper.
No, you're not. You're not.
Okay. All right. Let's forget about it. I mean, talking of politicians, though.
Yes.
Things went really badly.
Yes.
Like, I didn't expect things to go that badly.
Damn.
You know, I thought, you know, there'd be a little bit of shake up.
But you know.
Like, a little bit of a shake up. But now it's like, Gauteng is gone.
You know the
you
irony,
wake up
though.
One day and it's like. Yeah.
No, but you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Like so many people, like in conversation, in everyday conversation, are like, damn, I didn't know it would actually count like that.
Yeah, you know.
Like I was just trying to scare some folk, but I wasn't trying for it to go like this. This is a little too dramatic for my liking.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like one of those fights that you have with someone that is slowly or quickly becoming your ex, right?
Exactly.
You were just
and
trying
you know
to scare
the
them
final,
a little bit.
It's the final, like, the nailing. You know when you just take it too far?
Yeah.
Like, you know you can insult each other or, like, banter
and
in a fight.
And then you talk about someone's mom.
And then
mom.
You start talking. You're like, I hated your mother anyway.
Exactly. And you know she was a terrible cook. Yeah. I don't know why she always came around here on Sundays and she tried to cook. Why did she try
you
to make that seven colors anyway?
Take
she doesn't
that
even
away.
Know what seven colors are. I hate it. Her beetroot salad.
Why does she think mayonnaise is the seventh color?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
Why does she think that? Hey, mayonnaise is everything. And then you're like, you just heard. And then there's silence.
Damn.
That awkward silence.
Yeah, but we all know when we've gone too far. Like,
yeah.
Gabrielle, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
And you should hang your head in shame. And I feel like a lot of people
you've gone
are
too
like,
far.
Damn.
You went too far.
We went just.
That's a we. There was no we. I was not there with y'all. I told you that I went in that room and I couldn't.
I will not disclose who
this
or
was
who
not
I did
my
not
fault.
Vote for.
I just want to say that this was not my fault.
All I know
to all
that
the Tinderpreneurs out there, my friends, I know
who
that you
are
might lose.
Be losing contracts and jobs and
forget about contracts and jobs. You're going to be losing like Porsches,
girlfriends,
side chicks. It wasn't my fault, man. I tried my best.
Yeah,
I will take care of your side chicks. Don't worry.
No, it's a little crazy. It's a little crazy. But it's an exciting time. I'm very excited to see what happens in these coming months.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, Juju is also coming out with his own demands. And
I find that it's interesting that Juju's demands are the first thing that needs to happen is that the ANC needs to get rid of Jay-Z, the president.
Of course.
Which is really not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although the ANC has really realized, I think they know more than they ever knew before because maybe they weren't sure before, but now they really know. Like,
yeah.
Guy,
like,
you are really
up.
Bad for business. And I don't know how they're going to let him know because, you know, the ANC is like those friends who are really loyal. Like,
yeah.
You're that guy, they've taken you to a nice restaurant,
yeah.
Like they're taking your signature and
yeah.
You got drunk, eh? And you threw up on the maitre d'.
Yeah.
And like you do this, like every other week, we take you out somewhere. The other time you like fought with this other guy
yeah.
at Butcher Grill, you know,
yeah.
Over nothing. Today we took you to signature.
You're a public disturbance in other
yeah,
words.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you throw up on the maitre d'.
Oh, damn.
And like, we still don't know how to tell you, like, this is the
you're
last time.
You're bad for business.
Yeah, like.
No, but you know what? It's even worse than that. I feel like it's not just a friend. It's like, you know, that partner that you take to like business meetings and they keep messing it up for you. Because Jay-Z's not just messing up like, you know, like a casual social event.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
He's kind of messing
that's
up money.
True.
And yeah. that's where it counts, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's like it's you take like, him to a business
another
meeting.
Contract loss because you could not hold your alcohol.
Yeah, and then you he know? Just says something stupid.
Oh, damn.
Like to the
blacks.
Client. Mm. No, not, not even worse. He's like, he's been drinking. And he's like, you know, I've noticed that your perfume and your eyes, they match the aura of your bosoms. And you're like, why did you say that to the client, dog?
Yeah.
But I was just trying to, you know, freshen up the conversation. And you're like, don't freshen up the conversation.
You know what it seems like almost? Yeah. Survivor's remorse. You know, so that is like, you know,
that's
when guys make it out of the hood, right?
Yeah,
and they become successful.
Yeah, that's
then
it.
They always have
that's
that
it.
One friend they want to go get back from the hood
yeah.
who has done nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
and the only
yeah.
thing was, I've been loyal.
You're well, so spot
loyalty
on.
Loyalty doesn't get paid, brother. Like,
he's
get
that,
a job.
He's that guy. He's been friends with you since you were
yeah,
children.
And
you
that's
used to
his
run
investment.
BMXs together.
yes.
And then he saved you that one time from
once,
a bully.
Once.
Right?
On the playground. When
on
you
the
were
playground. Yeah. Right? And now, like, he's probably
he
come out
like
of jail.
You guys made it.
Yeah, yeah. He feels like
you
guys
made
it.
It.
No,
we made it.
Because
exactly.
he was there. He was calling you from jail all the time.
Yeah.
Yo, you know, I support you. I think you're gonna be great. You're gonna be wonderful.
He was investing in the dream.
And then he comes out of jail, mm-hmm. and then you're like still with him.
Yeah.
But every time you go to meetings, he pulls that prison stuff. You know, like the prison yard stuff on your clients.
Mm.
Like, listen, if you don't give us this deal, I'm gonna cut your throat.
Yeah, and or like, or like, he's not even articulating it. He's just showing your business partner's like, you better sign the paper.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've never gotten that. Like, I dated a guy and he had that as well. He had like survivor's remorse. I was like, you don't have to have survivor's remorse. You made it. You guys had same circumstance. He's like, but I feel bad. Like, you know, I've got this amazing life and this guy's living in a one bedroom. I'm
we
like,
we got Mitch and Candice in the studio. We're gonna talk to them in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're gonna ask them if like white people have that problem.
I doubt. But
okay. it's a black person.
Problem.
I know. Like, I have a friend. I bumped into him the other day. We were friends back in the hood, you know, in Soshanguve, and we used to ride BMXs together. You know, we saw a lot of like really hectic stuff together.
Yeah.
So now when we see each other, like, I saw him the other day and we were literally at a restaurant and I spoke to him for longer than I should have. Because
you always know when you just said that one word too much, where you should have said goodbye.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang,
I
I'm
couldn't
stuck.
Say goodbye to him.
Shit.
And he
and
I was,
now he's
I was
a
like,
part of your life for good.
Because you think he's just gonna be at some point be like, I see you with other people. Cheers,
never.
Nice to see you. No,
never.
No, he just kept going. He kept going. And I couldn't say, like, Mpo, like, I'm with other people now.
Yeah.
And
I love how you just mentioned his name, but
yeah,
go on.
I'm, you know, like, it must be the wine.
Go on.
And then, like, I bought some beers, and then he'd take my beer, you know, he just like take it. Like,
duh.
Whatever I drink, he just like takes it.
No, because it's a wee thing. It's not a you thing.
And
like, if you're thirsty, I'm thirsty.
And I wasn't angry about
it.
Like, generally, I'd get angry, but like, I just buy a drink and then he just take it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just have to buy
chill.
Another one. And
you
I was
chill.
Like, but that's how it is. He's here now.
That's survivor's remorse. But can I just, sorry, I want us to go into the real thing. Because we wanted to discuss the Olympics, right?
Yes.
Because there were two incidents actually that happened. The one. Well, they were both boxers, ironically, because I heard about it from you, where the boxers were
the Namibian boxer was assaulted. Was arrested by the Rio police for attempting to assault
a housekeeper.
Which
and
is
there
like,
was another one because I googled it yesterday.
He's just not used
there
to
was
like
a
really
Namibian,
hot housekeepers.
No, there was a Namibian and another guy. I forgot where he's from. No, I forgot where he's from, but he's also in the Rio Olympics and he's also a boxer.
Like, what continent is this person from?
I don't know. I like literally googled it yesterday.
Really?
But I'll Google it now.
We definitely remember the Namibian, don't we?
No, because you're the one that brought it up. I even forgot he was from Namibia.
I didn't want to say that he was from Namibia because he's like from a neighboring country.
No.
So it's like, the brother went to Rio
and he just done messed up for all of us.
And it's, you know how it is. It's like, guy, but why, dude?
Why would you do that to us?
Why would you do that, man?
But can I tell you what actually shocked me? That there were two incidents. So the one went in first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he got arrested for this, trying to assault a housekeeper. Then the Namibian's like, okay, like, I could do a little prison time. And then he got arrested later, which that's what gets me. Like,
oh, the Namibian did it after
the
other. Can we find out where the other guy's from, please?
Okay, let me just Google so long.
I mean, I've been watching the Olympics and I've been enjoying a couple of things. I'm loving the gymnastics, especially the floor work, the artistic stuff, all of it.
Yeah.
Simone Biles is like, she's my hero. She's my ultimate hero. I don't know if you're watching any of the Olympics.
I haven't seen
any. Are you familiar with any of the gymnasts?
No.
If I had legs like that, I would be happy as a man.
Oh, really?
And I'm not saying she's not sexy. Having said that, though, I'm saying that she's amazingly good looking.
Yeah.
But these people, yeah. So it's obviously like the other ones is a Moroccan boxer. Like,
oh, thank you, man.
Like a Moroccan and a Namibian. Like yes. These African brothers are going out there.
And they're just bringing shade onto the continent. Now they're going to be like, oh, the dark continent. You know, you can't trust them or take them anywhere.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. But I'm just like, what kind of like lack of self-control do you have to actually think that's okay?
Like you're in Rio. Like what kind of lack of self-control do you have? They're giving it away. Okay.
It's a right. Like literally
every corner.
You're in the Olympics. You know, you do not need to force yourself on anybody.
No.
She's a housekeeper. She has to smile.
You know what I mean?
She doesn't understand what the fuck you're saying. So she has to smile with you. And you think, oh man, that's a sign.
I should have been a guide. They should have taken me with. I would have taken them to all the places where like you just go to this, but there's a bar.
Yeah.
There's a bar. It's like a Chisanyama. I'm telling you, it's a Chisanyama near the beach.
Okay.
And while you're eating, during the day, it's a family place. You go with your wife and your kids.
Yeah.
And then at night, you just tell them, I'm going back to that other place, babe. And you say, like, you know how it was. And she's like, it was boring anyway. Go by yourself. And then you go there at night.
Oh, so you make it boring on purpose.
It's quite boring. Like, the food is lousy. Like, they don't know how to do a Chisanyama in Rio. Like, the Brazilians don't know how to buy,
yeah, yeah.
So you take...
So you do it as a scheme.
As a scheme.
Okay.
This is what we did. Well, not what we did.
This
but
is what we
did.
We went
real. As a group talk.
I love how you're snitching on yourself.
I know, yeah. But I actually was doing this with the people I was with. And most of
them
were the ladies.
It was never you. Okay.
It was the ladies. We went there. Mm-hmm. So during the day, we went there. And, like, the food was okay, but it wasn't amazing.
Okay.
And then...
It was mediocre.
It was very mediocre. Yeah. So you're wondering, why is everyone insisting that we come here, but come at night? Ha!
Was it happiness?
It's like happy hour from 5 till whenever you leave.
Really?
But it's the variety. It's like I've never seen a wider variety of different types of women.
Wait, okay.
Than
break
in Rio.
It down for me. Because now I'm thinking, is it like a strip club? Is it like a brothel? Is it a brothel?
It's
what
sort of
is
like
it?
A brothel. So they don't necessarily strip. They're just like, but you know what? It's like going to MASH. Okay. Except instead of Xhosa chicks, it's, sorry, I'm so gonna get stoned for this. And Tswana chicks and Sotho chicks and like Shangaan chicks. It's like chicks from around the world.
Okay, basically. So you're not going for the food. You're going for a different type of menu.
No, you're going, yeah.
Okay, but, so is it priced? Is it like, okay.
Yeah, no, there's prices and everything.
So you get a menu of prices. Is there a picture with a menu?
No, you don't need pictures. They're here. They're here.
Oh, so they wear the price.
No, like you talk to them.
Oh, okay.
If you want to know the price.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that seems a little expensive for me.
Is it?
I don't know. I think maybe just women don't pay for sex. Like it would just be very weird if I had to, I think it would break my heart. Like if I had to pay a man for sex. Like I think I would literally like, my heart would be, I would never be the same person again. I'd check
but
myself.
But you never really are. And on that note,
on that beautiful note,
we're going to introduce our guest, right?
Please, you go. Yeah.
Like the show is usually much better than this. Anyway.
Yes, we behave, guys. I'm sorry.
My two friends here. Thanks for coming through. And really what we're talking about is because, you know, my party is coming up this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I am turning 40 again. Only for the first time.
For the night.
I'll say for the first time. So what we're talking about today is the menu. What is going to be eaten there? Wow, I was just trying to find some more information, so let's forget about it.
Yes.
And I've got Mitch Gemmel with me in the studio, who is the head of catering at 19 Restaurant, right? And at Stain City in general. Like, you've got Stain City Hospitality. Tell us a little bit about that. In fact, let me say hello, Mitch. Say hello to our audience.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good, and yourself? You sound great today.
Yeah, that's
by
good.
By the way, let me just turn you up a little. And of course, I've got Candice. How do I pronounce your name? Dagger.
Dagger. D-A-G-G-E-R, like
the
knife.
Like the knife.
Ooh.
Okay, Candice
so
Dagger.
So two Candices in studio. That
yeah.
is
yeah. Double
exciting.
Trouble.
Two
double.
Hot Candices, I must say, guys. I wish you
I
were
don't
in the
think
studio
there's an ugly Candice.
I've seen some.
Of course you have.
In fact, you were the first hot Candice. You were quite a surprise.
Moving on swiftly.
Mitch and Candice, welcome to the studio. It's good to have you guys with us.
Thanks for having us.
So they do different things, obviously.
Yeah.
Like I said, I introduced Mitch. I hope that was a great introduction, Mitch. Was that any good? Do you want me to do it again?
Can I hold up an 8?
Okay. Let me try it again. In the studio with me, I've got Mitch Did I pronounce your surname right?
You Gemmell. Did. I'm impressed.
Mitch Gemmell. And it's very difficult to pronounce, but because I know things, I know how to do it right. So we've got Mitch Gemmell, who is the head of catering at 19 Restaurant, as well as Stain City Hospitality, and a man who knows how to put a sheep, a full lamb on a spit and do it absolutely amazingly well.
Oh my God.
I've never had such an amazing spit braai that I had when Mitch organized my baby's 1 year birthday party.
So you were in charge of all that magic, Mitch?
Yes, yeah. We look after basically all the catering at Stain City.
Mm-hmm.
So because we are all part of the same group, I'm actually employed by the Saxon Hotel.
Oh, okay.
And we've created a new outlet called Stain City Hospitality by Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, we look after 19 Restaurant.
Yeah.
At the clubhouse. We also look after the gym.
Okay.
Wait,
there's food at the gym?
No.
Oh.
No, that's just part of, it's just one of our outlets that we look after.
So but they do have amazing toilets.
Of course. You've been raving about the toilets.
I can't get over them.
I thought it would come up today again. You know, it was definitely on
it
the
was a know, highlight.
When I know I'm going to stay in City that day, I'm just like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm waiting until I get there.
If it makes you feel any better, you're not the only one. We also had a foodie launch there the one day, and all the pictures were selfies in the toilets.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Okay. So anyway, there's that. And then, of course, we've got Candice, but I want to come back to that, Mitch, just now. But I want to talk to Candice as well, because Candice was kind enough to actually bring us some amazing wine. Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry, Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry, Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry.
Okay, yeah, we get it. We get it three times. Okay. Like you've been practicing.
I was going to do it a fourth.
We get it. You've been practicing. We good. We're
I
good.
Haven't been practicing.
You told me yesterday.
I have been practicing.
You told us when you got into studio, and now you had to say it on air.
Okay, but that's the name of the wine.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Red Lorry is the red wine. It's the Easy Shiraz. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And then the Yellow Lorry is the
Sauvignon Blanc.
Those are the two varietals that you've
got. Yes.
Okay, tell us about the wine quickly. Where is it from?
So basically, the Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry is from the Elgin Valley. And as you know, that cooler climate produces some of the best Sauvignon Blancs around. I love this wine because it's an easy drinking, everyday wine. It's great value for money. It oversells on its price points. And it's one of my personal favorites. Absolutely, hands down. I drink this all the time at home. Mm. My friends and family have come to love this stuff as well.
Oh.
And I'm quite happy to say that the Quarter family was kind enough to sponsor some wine for your birthday. So we quite...
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, at least
so
I guess...
I'm going to get to taste it then.
Well, if you're going to be drinking that night, but you have to drink on my birthday.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get crunk. I think you're going to get crunk for everyone. Lies.
I'm not, though.
Oh, shush.
You know I'm on this whole healing thing, right?
Oh, yeah, but still. I don't know if you can resist.
I'm going to try, Candice.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to be that friend.
I'm a lot more fun when I'm sober.
Okay.
Anyway, we're talking about the wine.
Anyway.
But what about you?
So what do you think about the wine, seeing as that we're drinking it out of coffee cups? I think it's delicious.
So far, I've had the Yellow Lorry. And... it is an easy drinking white because it's Sauvignon Blanc. I can see it on a Friday afternoon at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm.
I've just done my last gig and I'm just chilling on the porch by the pool with a little bit of ice.
Oh, yes.
And some great music. Let me just turn it up a little bit, in the background.
Some feel-good tunes.
Yeah, some feel-good tunes. And we're just chilling and it's a sunny day in Joburg. Perfect.
Mm. Awesome description. And
summer.
You can say this drink is very fruit. The wine's very fruit driven. So that's what I can say. You can have it on its own or you can pair it with the meal.
Oh,
so
nice.
Either or. But I just swig it back every day, all day. Love
where do we
stuff.
Find it though? Because I've never seen it anywhere.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Norman Goodfellas.
Okay.
This, Wine and Lick at Melrose, which is a more boutique.
Oh, yes.
So it's basically you'll find it in other boutique stores as well.
Okay.
In the suburbs.
In the suburbs. And then actually Tops also stock it as well.
Oh, okay.
So it is available at Tops.
Oh, okay.
The people wanted it. There was in demand. So we gave them what they wanted.
You got to give the people what they want.
Yeah.
And I think the people would love something like this. Because also, even if you've been, you're a bit of a wine connoisseur, which I like to think that I am a little bit of a wine connoisseur, it's still very lovely wine to drink. It's easy, but I was looking for the right word and I'm losing it now, but it's unpretentious.
Yes.
Oh.
You know?
But the thing is, like I was explaining earlier, like we had the blind tasting in LVB Bistro in Bryanston. And like I say, there was 51 people tasting and 26 vineyards partook. And the Yellow Lorry Sauvignon Blanc came out number one, hands down, one.
Wow.
So I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah, no, that's quite an achievement.
I love it. And like I say, you must try it this weekend when you're at the party.
I promise to try it when I'm at the party.
Because you don't want to drink with us now.
Which one do you prefer, red or white wine?
A white.
You prefer a white wine?
Yeah.
So that's probably why you don't drink so much, because a white wine actually makes you get there much quicker.
Oh, it gets you like over,
yeah.
Over the
top. And sometimes you even like you miss the mark by a long shot. You're like, I just want to get a little bit happy. And then before you know it, yeah, that gets you to the party.
You stand up and it's like, where?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We have to take you home now.
No, but you know what the problem with wine is for me personally? Mm. Is like you can drink it, and as I'm sitting, I'm still the same person. I'm chatting away. I don't know the secrets I'm unveiling because it seems very natural. Mm. Mm. And then you're like, you know what? Let me go to the bathroom. You stand up and the world starts spinning. You're like, okay, yeah.
It kind of sneaks up on you. That's the biggest problem. You drink away, and the minute, like you say, you stand up. It's like,
I thought that was like more a whiskey thing.
No, that's a wine thing.
Okay. Because wine for me, it's like, it lets me know. Like, okay, we're at level 2 now. Let's not get to level 11.
But I can't imagine a dish without a great glass of wine.
I promise you,
it complements it so beautifully. And therefore, I say, when you're having a meal, and when I'm cooking, I'm using wine, I'm pouring it in my food.
You are like a party.
Well, this is why it says I'm a party. I'm a professional drinker, you know?
our producer Duncan asked if maybe an alcoholic in disguise, but I wouldn't have gone that far. Just a professional drinker.
Yeah, but I love your business card, because on your business card it says professional drinker.
That's correct.
Yeah. I think that is the best thing ever.
That's a great job. Can I join you?
Yes, please.
I'm very good at this. I could take it professional now. I'm ready.
You know what I'm scared of? You look amazing, right? But I'm just scared that it may not work for me. Like I would just like start taking on other traits, like become bloated and look like a puzza face.
Oh yeah.
So my vanity is really what's.
Yeah, because you haven't tested it yet, so we don't know.
No,
hey.
I could really evolve into a different creature. Well, I mean, this takes work alone. So.
Yeah. Well, I say I plan to age like fine wine, only getting better with time.
You see.
And I look this good because of my wine. I drink wine every day, all day, and I promise you. It does not.
You're definitely happier.
I'm happy. I'm happy, happy. And like I say, I drink it every night. A glass a day keeps the doctor at bay. So.
Oh. I mean, if I'm an example to go by, no one would have guessed that I'm turning the age that I'm turning. And
you're looking good.
And yet I'm more than just a fine wine. I've literally been dunked in this stuff and preserved. But Mitch, apart from like really great wine, give us some of the food that people can expect at 19 on any given day. Because the first time I went there, it was for a lunch and I just had a blast.
Okay, so our menu's got a fairly decent variety. We kind of go, it's an upmarket bistro kind of style.
Mm.
So because we're a clubhouse, we've got everything from toasted sandwiches, to wraps, things like that. And then also, you know, when you look at on the dinner side, we've got Mediterranean chicken curry. We then move across to things like pork belly and lamb shoulder. So there's quite a nice mixture for everyone.
Yeah. I found that the restaurant seemed quite to be on a fine dining more menu than anything else when I went there. I just look past things like sandwiches and wraps because that's what I go for. But I enjoyed the variety on the fine dining side.
Well, that's the thing. So we try to make it, especially in the evenings, we try to have more of a kind of fine dining. So breakfast has its own menu, and then we've got a lunch and dinner menu.
Okay.
We've also got a halfway house menu and a bar snack menu.
Oh, nice.
What's a halfway house menu?
So that's more for when you're playing golf. But it's that's also more where your toasted sandwiches are and things. So if you are around and you like a snack, you can kind of look at the halfway house menu because that is, it's your toasted sandwiches, it's filled croissants, it's those kind of things. The bar snack menu is kind of in the afternoon after golf, so it's more.
It's quite golf orientated, isn't it?
It is. You know, we are a golf clubhouse. Yeah. We do
you
need to be
cater to your clientele.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's mini sliders and things like that. That's snacky things that you can eat.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, when I heard of 19, it was on a Facebook group called Josie Restaurants, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that group because, you know, people come there and they become food critics and food experts. And I started seeing 19. It was along the listings with LBV and everyone was raving about it. And I thought, oh, okay, great, you know. And I thought I'd go someday until you were having your birthday at Stain City. So now I can save myself some money.
I take since you your everywhere, birthdays, don't I?
No, well, your birthday is going to be very expensive since you went really, to at home for your gift registry.
Let me do this. I want a cut of the lobola money because I have I've really done a lot for your education.
Oh my gosh,
as a woman.
Please.
At least 10% should be mine. In fact, I already have 20%.
What would you be taking claim on?
I'm taking you to 19 restaurant.
Well, not yet. Saturday.
It's a done deal. I've introduced you to Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry.
You have. You I can't take that away because Mitch and Candace are pretty amazing.
Okay. Oh,
but I don't think that's 10%. Okay. I'm just saying. I think 1%.
One? Okay.
I'm cheap like that. It's not a reflection on you guys.
But you had a question. Sorry, I jumped
in. So, I mean, you know, how do you maintain that kind of standard? When you guys started, was that the aim to be one of the, you know, best restaurants in Joburg? Or was it just to cater to the Stain City clientele?
Well, look, a big focus for us is the Stain City clientele. Mm. And it will become more about the Stain City clientele in the future.
Yeah.
At the moment, there's still a very limited number of residents that live there. Mm. And we are growing. So as we grow, our business is always changing.
Okay.
So since day one, we've never really stopped changing. Mm. So we first started out with an entry level menu just until we got a couple of residents, until golf picked up, all of that kind of thing. And then we moved over. Now, as we go, we keep changing, focusing more on residents and golfers and things like that. And, you know, there may be a stage where for an outsider, it will be very difficult to come and eat at our restaurant.
Damn,
but at the moment,
you guys are making it hard for us. Well, like, you're going to need to invest in Stain City. Yeah.
You're going to need to know me.
Yes.
Or I could just marry someone who
But that's
just
the thing. It's, it's an extremely exclusive estate.
But that's the thing.
What you need to know is it's still open. The public is allowed to come to 19. It is by reservation only.
Ooh.
Which
makes it even better because you know you're not just going to bump into every Tom, Dick, and Susan.
No, it's not like you can ask if, like, I don't know, what's your ex's name? Is Mr. S there? They're not going to tell you.
But I think that the menu for this weekend for the birthday is absolutely gorgeous.
Please
Mitch,
do run us through the menu.
Yeah, so it is a sit-down event, obviously.
Yes.
But instead of doing a full three-course meal, starters is actually going to be served as a canapé style outside on arrival. Mm-hmm. So we're going with a smoked trout on compressed cucumber and dill with cream cheese.
Mm.
So that's one of them.
Delish.
Goat's cheese, smoked apple and crostini.
Mm.
And then nori dusted seared beef fillet with soya gel.
Do you know what nori is, by the way? No, or did you just choose it? Yeah, he's smiling. He does not know.
I don't know what nori is. It sounds tasty. Do you know what nori is?
I do know what nori
What's
is.
What's nori?
It's the black stuff on sushi.
It's the seaweed.
The black seaweed stuff.
But basically, that's pretty much the easiest way to explain it. Because people then know what you're kind of going on about.
Okay. I like
that. Yeah, so that's starters. So we'll serve starters outside on the terrace.
Yeah.
Because if you want a unbelievable sunset, you need to come and join us.
Yeah.
It's one of the nicest views that you can have. Sundowners.
Man.
Like you were saying, a little glass of Red Lorry and sundowners, I think, would be fantastic on our terrace.
Mm.
Then we move inside, main course. You're looking at fillet of beef with ratatouille veg, parmesan mash,
Ooh.
And green peppercorn jus. That's the one option. And then the next option is seared salmon, pea and asparagus risotto, fennel, and a citrus salad.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure my partner chooses one and I choose another.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I just want everything.
We have that quite a lot. People like to kind of do a little bit of a taste like that.
Yeah, that's delish. Yeah.
And then dessert, we're trying to keep it a little bit more informal and kind of relaxed. So desserts will be per table.
Okay.
So we're going to do cheese boards per table, and then a selection of chocolate brownies, dark chocolate and brandy malva pudding, and then raspberry panna cottas. So we'll do that per table.
I chose that,
by
the way.
That is delish.
I chose
that. Is that all you chose?
Yeah, because I'm not really a dessert person, but I wanted to, those people with a sweet tooth,
oh, no,
have something.
I'll have your dessert.
Well, you have a whole dessert for yourself. You
I know,
a
but I'm just saying. No, I'll have whatever you don't have.
Okay, I'll have your meat. You can have my dessert.
No, I don't want that. I didn't say I was going to. I didn't say trade.
Okay, you can have my dessert. Fine. I'll be drinking Red Lorry for dessert.
But that's amazing. I'm actually so excited for this birthday.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, we are as well.
Yes, no,
we can't wait. It's going to be a fantastic event.
But now, Candace, I wanted to know, what else do you guys do at the drinks company? You say you have a mature blend of service and passion. So you have other brands there as well, right? What other brands do you service?
So basically, we specialize in fine wine and craft liqueur. We have the High Road from Stellenbosch, which specializes in red grape varietals.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Quarter Family Wines from the Elgin Valley. We obviously have the red lorry, which is also from the Elgin Valley.
Let's go back to that Elgin Valley. To those who don't know where the Elgin Valley is, Mitch, you found it for us earlier. Where is it exactly? It's between Paul and something else, right?
So it's basically below just Paul. Under Paul.
Yeah.
As in south of Paul or north of Paul? Because below geography, there's no such thing as
never
under.
South. It's south.
It's south. Yes. Okay, thank you.
I can't believe I still have to do
it's
that.
It's south
I'm
of
like,
Paul.
Yeah, so it's basically south of Paul, kind of below Stellenbosch and Paul, kind of.
Oh, okay.
To the right.
To the right. That would be to the east.
Okay, please.
Yeah. And it's surrounded by the Overberg.
Southeast.
But what's great about the Elgin Valley is it's cooler climate, and they produce some of the best Sauvignon Blancs around because the grapes can spend more time on the vine.
Oh, nice.
Whereas other climates, it's a little bit more warmer, so they can't really.
Does that help the grape get sweeter?
Absolutely. It fills it with a lot more juice. It's a lot more concentrated.
Okay.
Then I've also got Glenwood from Franschhoek. And as I explained earlier, I love this particular vineyard because the very first man that planted the vines there 30 years ago, Mr. D.P. Berger, the winemaker, is still there today making some amazing wines.
That is amazing.
I know. I love the story about it, and I love the farm, and the whole team is such warm and welcoming people. That's what I absolutely love about them.
Yeah.
And then obviously I've got Lanique, which is a craft liqueur dating back to 1815. Mm-hmm. So it's got over 200 years of history. It's made from a tar of rose, and basically what they do is they source exotic desert roses, which they then steam distill to get that rich essential rose oil. They then take that rose oil and they mix it with the white bay spirits. Now this particular drink is also one of my favorites because you can make so many different cocktails with it.
Okay. Ooh, but it sounds kind of exclusive and expensive.
It's very exclusive. It is a little bit pricey, but I still think affordable.
Well, if it's coming from the desert.
I want to hook you up.
It's coming from a desert rose.
You know what I mean?
Not just any rose that you pick up.
I don't want
up.
Any old rose. I want a desert rose.
But trust me, I've got your back. Right, cool. It's the official cocktail of London Fashion Week.
Wow.
Sir Richard Branson's rooftop parties 2 years in a row. And it also won Taste Alone at the MTV Awards. It's new in South Africa. It's only been here a year. We were at the Uppington Festival with it last year. It was so well received. Mm-hmm. The Afrikaans community went head over heels for it. I didn't think that they would love it. Especially the Boere manne. You would think that they wouldn't want pink drinks. These men went
loved it.
Insane. So it's been very well received in South Africa. And I'm definitely going to treat your taste buds to something Lanique.
I'm excited. Please do call me when you like that. Because I don't know where my table is. Like my table could be like, you know, at the toilet.
Yeah, it just depends.
So
yeah.
I just.
It depends how you treat me between now and Saturday.
I've got the seating plan. I don't think you want to know where your table is.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm just happy to be there. It's just like when you lose at the Oscars, you know, you're just happy that you were nominated.
Yeah. But I wanted to know something though. How did you get into something like this, Candace? I mean, where does someone decide
that I'm going to drink wine for a living?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then actually make it work.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I traveled quite a lot in my 20s. I lived 3.5 years as I was in London, then a year and a half hours in the Middle East, Bahrain. Then I was in Hyderabad in India. So throughout my travels, I've always, loved tasting different wines from around the world.
I don't think they had much wine in Bahrain though.
Oh, you would be surprised.
Okay. Behind closed doors, I suppose.
Yes. Exactly. They don't advertise liquor there, but trust me, you know where to find it. And what I did is when I came back from my travels, when I turned 30, I decided, look, Candace, it's time to get a real job.
It's time to grow up. Go back home.
And then I worked for a lovely company that basically looked after 20 vineyards. And I worked for Pineas for a short while. And after a couple of months, I think after about a year with them, I decided that I wanted to venture off on my own.
Was this in Cape Town, by the way? You went back?
I've been based in Johannesburg the whole time, but I worked for all the Cape Town vineyards. And
interesting.
And after I got all hands-on training by the winemakers themselves, going to the vineyards, I absolutely felt head over heels in love with this industry. And I realized that I wanted to start spreading the word of wine and educating people. Because when I came into the industry, I was so uneducated because I just thought it was grapes, bottle, boom, done.
Yes, yes.
But it's such a beautiful art and science behind it. And the more I learn, the more I want to learn.
Oh, nice.
So I'm quite happy and very excited and feeling very blessed that I have this little company. It's doing very well. It's being very well received.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to know anything more about it, you can check us out on Facebook, The Drinks Company, at the Drinks Co. Josie. So we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter and Facebook. We've been live on social media for 1 month yesterday.
Yay!
So, to us.
Could you just say that again, please? So it's the Drinks
Company on Facebook.
Okay.
But all you need to do is go hashtag The Drinks Co. Josie.
Oh, nice.
Or at the Drinks Co. Josie, and you'll find all the information there. And if you need any fine wines, I'm the lady to speak to.
All right. Cool. Well, you know what? We're going to come back and ask you a few more questions and, of course, ask Mitch a few more questions about how he got into the hospitality and, I suppose, restaurant trade. But before we do that, it's time for us to go to a commercial break. So let's do that.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
All right.
So, yeah.
We're back.
So, during the very short commercial.
I didn't say commercials break.
But it's amazing how much we actually squeezed into that commercial break. Because we were like, you get to drink for a living. And Mitch was like, I get to drink and eat for a living. Yeah. I was like, oh, perfect. Perfect.
So, Mitch, like, what qualification do you need to have to be in your industry apart from, like, being a glutton and a wine bibber?
Okay, no. Wait. Before we even go
You're
there.
You're like Jesus.
Love it.
But before we even go there, let's just rewind. Did you always want to do this? Were you always into food and wine? Okay, obviously not wine.
Yeah, not really,
because if you grow up wanting wine, there's a problem.
I did.
That hence you a problem.
Okay.
But with you, Mitch, like, how did this come about?
I think I've always enjoyed food and cooking and things like that, even since I was small. So I mean, it's been a big part of my life and things. So I've always enjoyed it. And then when it came around to leaving school and going into the big bad world, you kind of never really know what you want to do or where you should go. Mm. Everyone's pulling you in 50 different directions. And I actually ended up studying to become a chef.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Where did you study to become a chef? Because I was going to ask you, I mean, can you cook? Because obviously you probably do know how to cook.
Yeah, I can cook. I started out at International Hotel School.
Okay.
Where's that?
It was in Rivonia at one stage. Joburg, I'm not sure where it is at the moment. Yeah, but in Joburg.
And how long is that?
I did a 2-year course there.
Okay.
And then when I left there, I kind of decided kitchen wasn't really
your thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's my passion to do at home, but cooking
it's not as much fun.
Not really,
at
you know, all day in the kitchen was not really what I wanted to do.
So hold on, sorry.
Yeah. After you.
Okay. Now, so during that qualification, do you specify which food you want to cook? Like, do you focus on French cuisine, Chinese cooking? What is it? Or do you just have a whole spread?
No, so you generally focus on a kind of general aspect of cooking.
Okay.
So your first year, you kind of do more of a management course that you've kind of figure out. All the management side of how to run a kitchen and the stock and all of that kind of things. And then you kind of do more cooking in your second year. So you end up in the industry. So, for example, my first place that I worked was Emperor's Palace. So I did a stint there for a while. And then...
Which restaurant at Emperor's Palace?
You move around. So I went to Aurelio's. I went to...
Pharaoh's. I think that Pharaoh's that.
No, no. At that stage, it wasn't part of Emperor's Palace.
Oh, okay. Mm.
As far as I know. So it was kind of more, you did the banqueting side, and then I ended up at Aurelio's for a while.
Oh, okay. So you wanted to ask something.
I worked at Emperor's Palace as well, by the way, when it was still called Caesar's.
What did you do there?
Me as well.
I was an MC, a floor MC.
Oh, you were that guy.
Yeah, I was that irritating guy.
Who gets on our nerves.
Yes.
And the whole conversation at the table has to stop if you're at a restaurant nearby.
Yes.
You have to be like, can this fool finish?
Yeah.
And then only you're like, okay, anyway, like I was saying.
That was me.
Look at you. You've been irritating
Maybe
for a long time.
Maybe we were around the same
I've been
time.
Irritating, irritating Joe Burgers for 20 years.
I loved it when it was Caesars as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask, like, for example, when you're learning how to be a chef, are you basically learning the basics of cooking, like how to saute an onion or how to braise some beef, or are they taking you further, like spicing, what the combinations are, things like that?
Well, I think it also depends on how long your course is and which school you go through and all of that kind of stuff. But in general, you have to start at the beginning. And, you know, you have to learn how to cut and chop and all of your things, like how to store food properly and all of that. Because that's a huge basis to begin with. It doesn't help to go straight into the good stuff if you can't do the entry level.
If all your food is actually just rotting in the fridge
because
you didn't store it properly, hey.
Yeah, so it's all about learning good ingredients and menu ideas and things like that, and then working your way into the different techniques and the different styles.
Okay.
And if someone wants to study that, like, how do you know that might be something that you might be interested in? Is it because you like eating, or you just like the preparing of food?
Because I like eating. Yeah, I don't like cooking.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean you make a good chef, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, enjoying food and going to nice restaurants and stuff is completely different to knowing that you want to be in this industry.
Yeah.
It's a very tough industry.
It's taxing as well.
You know,
right?
When you leave school, you basically say goodbye to your friends and you find new ones because you work all the time.
Oh,
public
man.
Holidays, you know, you work night shifts, you work late shifts, all of that. So it's a very rewarding industry.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot, you can travel. You know, your traveling possibilities are endless especially at the moment. There's so much demand out there for people in our industry.
But I find that people who are from a catering background, like especially chefs, when they cook for themselves, they cook the most simple things. I think I went
Aren't they sick of it? It's because they're sick of doing that.
I was at a restaurant one time and I was in the kitchen and they literally ordered McDonald's burgers. That's what they wanted to eat.
What?
Wow. I think if you're surrounded by it all the time, and like you say, when you're always cooking it for somebody, I always found when I worked in the kitchen, I was never hungry. Because you're always around food. It's always there. That smell, everything like that. So you steal a little piece here and there and go through your day. By the time you get home, you either don't eat or it's been a long day. So it's got to be as quick and easy as possible.
Oh, man. Because if I married a chef, I'd be very disappointed if they don't cook at home. I'd be like, this is the key reason I married you.
It'll be cheese and tomato toasted sandwiches.
No, because I can't cook. And I don't shy away.
You said that you could.
No, I said I can survive. There's a difference. Like I can make like pasta bakes.
All the time, eh?
No, like I can make like pasta bakes and I can boil rice, you know. But like I wouldn't say it's a meal.
I don't know why you have to say that out loud, because we just lost 20,000 on that Lobola.
And the worst part, I'm not even planning on it.
Oh, like, my gosh. We just lost another 10.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the biggest perk would be, like, you know, the fact that you're going to cook. So if you come home and you only make toasted sandwiches, Mitch?
Well, I think it also depends on the day. I mean, some days
who cooks
you go
in your house?
Like
you or your wife?
Sorry?
Who cooks in your house?
The wife.
Oh, okay.
Well, it depends. Really? It all depends on who's... All depends on who's around and when and who's... Because she's also in hospitality. So it all depends on who's got the longer day.
Yeah.
And who gets home first and who's around and all of that. So it all depends.
Do you find that you're critical, though, when you go out to eat at different places or someone cooks for you? Do you find that you pay more attention to the flavor of the food and where it went wrong and if a burnt onion is in there?
I find the biggest thing is actually if you go to a friend's house or somebody else's house, they're always like, oh my word, I need to cook for a chef.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff. Which,
well, the pressure's
which what people
real.
Need to, what my friends or what I always say to people they need to understand is, yes, I am qualified as a chef, but I'm not a chef anymore. I haven't been one for years.
Yeah.
So I've moved to the front of house.
Yeah. You're looking more at the decor, how the food was plated, you know, did it come on the plate warm?
No, but your palate is still the same. Like, I mean, you still understand good food.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's like, he's looking at other things now. He's like,
No, but
you also need to learn how to switch off. Yeah. Because if you're always in work mode.
Oh, yeah. No one likes that.
You'll never
guy.
Go out with friends or anybody and enjoy
one likes smart ass.
Your time when you're out. Because otherwise, you know, you're always being critical. So.
Yeah. But do you go to some places? Because I know that as much as we don't want to do it, but you're like, at the back of your mind, you're like, I could have done this better. Like, you know, if they had just added a little this in your head, you don't need to articulate it, but in your head, do you ever find that you do that?
Yeah, you do. Like I said, it's very hard to switch off and actually just sit down and be like, okay, well.
But what are some of the places like in Joburg that have just, like, let's say name one outside of the Saxon, which we know does amazing.
And 19.
That has just blown you away. Like, you're just like, wow.
That's a tough one. I'm trying to think where I've been recently that was
like, have you been to Jameli in Bryanston?
Oh,
you know,
is amazing.
It's okay.
Actually, you know what is an unbelievable restaurant is La Luna in Melville.
Oh.
The Cube Tasting Kitchen. Have you guys heard of
it? Oh,
the
yeah, definitely. I loved Cubed.
Oh, Cube is also sensational.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think Cafe de Sol has got some of the best.
Bryanston, though.
And they've just opened a new branch in Parkhurst. And wow.
DW13.
Yes.
That's always a good one.
Old schoolmate of mine actually runs that.
But
Ferreira.
If you really want a nice, quiet evening,
yes,
go to
La Luna. Melville.
That is such a nice restaurant.
Okay, what kind of cuisine do they serve? Italian, French?
It's a lot of pastas.
Oh, so Italian.
So it's an Italian kind of thing and a lot of pastas, things like that. But it is
like
such
that.
A nice, yeah? such a nice restaurant.
You like that?
No, no.
Do you guys like steak? Because if you love steak as well, have you ever heard of Millhouse?
Millhouse, no.
Millhouse. There's one in Kailami. There's one in Pretoria. They're opening another one in Centurion. And they're launching one in Stellenbosch soon now as well.
No.
For steaks, oh my lord. And I love the fact that they come and present you your steak so you can pick the cut.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Before they cook it. So that's something quite special to me.
Oh.
What I want to ask you as well, Candice, is do you only always drink your own wines or do you sometimes just drink any old wine?
Not at all. I love exposing my palate to many different wines from all over the world. So,
and would you name others, like
absolutely,
your favorite?
My absolute favorite that's not in my portfolio, and I've said this for over a year now and it has not changed.
Yes.
Chamonix.
Chamonix is amazing.
Like, wow. Mm. They do a Cab Franc, and I love that varietal. It's very rare that you get 100% Cab Franc in a wine, and they do one where it's 100% Cab Franc, and that's...
Yeah, it's a great wine.
That makes my eyes roll back.
But can I ask something? Because I'm not a heavy drinker, but I want to know, what is the fuss around Moët? Because I've had Moët champagne, and I find it...
by the way.
Whatever. What is the huge hype except the price point?
I think that one is a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it?
Because we have the same thing. We obviously, starting out, we decided we'd keep a relatively small champagne portfolio.
Mm.
So we basically have Moët and Paul Roger. Moët.
Shut up. I was like, Mitch said it like I said it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you see, it's not a French wine. It's actually the Moët family is from the Netherlands. So they're Dutch. So you wouldn't say Moët in the Netherlands.
Okay, there's no master of pronunciation. Shush.
Yeah, that's how people say you can't pronounce
it. Okay, can I ask something that might be a little offensive?
Uh-huh.
Is it just my people who like ordering?
Kind of people.
I'm not telling.
My people who like ordering Moët?
She's basically trying to say black people, and I don't like that you've taken it there, Candice.
No, I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. That's a good question though.
I always wanted to know that. is it mostly black people who like to order Moët?
No, I think it's a general.
You don't have to be diplomatic here.
No, I'm not even being diplomatic. I just think it's a general
South African thing, isn't it?
I think what they've done is they've got a great marketing and a great name.
Okay.
And they do though.
And because
it's like Hennessy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because champagne is so expensive that people don't want to try something new.
Mm.
I mean, personally, I feel there are much nicer brands out there. Than it.
There's some great South African brands. I mean,
we do Graham Beck. As well.
Yeah, our MCCs in this country are fantastic.
Amazing. And the only reason why they can't be called champagne is because there's an embargo on the word champagne.
So they're called sparkling wine, eh?
Yeah, well, Method Cup Classic.
Yeah, MCC.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
MCC.
Mm. Look at me learning new things.
Yeah, well, stick around, baby.
Not the right kind of things, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, like, why? Why?
Like,
why?
When I educate you, I'm like, fruit and protein and chicken and
eggs. We need each other. But here's the thing. Yes. I want to ask you, Candice. Which country do you reckon makes the best wine? And you can say it's South Africa. I was going to say
definitely.
That.
I'm saying South Africa. Definitely. Yeah. Hands down, we make the best wine in the world.
Like, you're not being biased.
No, I'm
from
not.
Here.
I'm not. Okay. Honestly, my palate hasn't been exposed to too many international wines. But
what about
I have,
France?
France, they've got beautiful, like the Chablis area, they've got beautiful wines. But I can guarantee you that we are up and coming winemakers, and we are going to be internationally recognized across the world for our fantastic wines.
Mm.
There is nothing better than I can think that you can give me your Australian wines, you can give me wines from Paris, France. Close. I don't care. South African, I'm a girl that is proud of her roots, and I'm very proud of our country, and I believe that our South African wines are the creme de la creme of wines.
Oh man.
No, they are. I mean, like I went on a whole tour of tasting wines from around the world. I mean, let's not even talk about American wines. Californian wines are like, just let's forget about it. Let's not even talk about them. They shouldn't even be featured. Italian wine is okay, but it's nowhere near as good as South African wine. Value for money, French wine and South African wine, I think you get something as good and sometimes even better than French wine, but at a price point that is irresistible.
Mm.
New Zealand, funny enough, makes some decent wine, and
I've
so does
so,
Chile.
Yes.
Chilean wines are pretty good wines. But still, maybe it's because they do say it's about what you're used to drinking.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes. What your palate is accustomed to.
But like, for example, French wine, immediately you know if it's good or it's not good. And South African wine is the same. Everywhere else, maybe you do have to get used to it. American wine, I could not get used to at all. But like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
with
I find that South African
wine
is a lot more bold, a lot more complex, a lot more flavorful. Mm.
Yeah.
Where the French is a lot more subtle. And I like that big, bold things that jump out of the glass. You know, I like that. I really do enjoy that.
You have a big personality yourself, so I can tell.
I'm a bit of a wild child.
No, but when I was speaking to some Americans, they loved our wine. That was actually because I asked them, what is the best part of South Africa? Besides the woman, they said that
wine, women and food.
Yeah, they said
you cannot go wrong in this country.
They said honestly, South Africa's got some of the most beautiful women in the world, and they've traveled, and they've got some of the best wines in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, the reason we don't see it is because we're so used to it.
I know.
So to us, it's just like another woman, another wine.
There's another good-looking woman with a big booty. Oh my gosh, I can't take another one. Let me have another drink of wine.
Yeah. Yes, cheers to that. Let's cheers to that.
And a great steak while I'm at it. That's the thing,
and we've
right?
got the best steaks in the world.
I know.
But you know what? I feel like South Africans, we don't appreciate what we've got because we're so accustomed to it, right?
Yes, or we exactly. appreciate it too much.
No.
You take
no.
it for granted. Have you
no,
seen how...
I mean, take it for... Exactly.
When you go down to Cape Town, it's so beautiful. It's picturesque. It's surreal. And
dude.
I think that...
It's another world.
Dude. Can I just say, like, I remember I went on a trip, you know, the Rio Olympics is yes. happening now, and Rio is an amazing place to go.
Yeah.
And I had just gone to Rio, and fortunately, like a week or two later, I went to Cape Town straight after, and I was like, wait
Damn.
A minute. What was the point of going to Rio again?
When
because,
I had this.
Yeah, Cape Town is just on another level. Like, and Joburg too, you know.
And Clarence. And like we've got so many beautiful
different places.
We've got some hidden
Durban.
Gems that are unbelievable that you can go to.
Like
it's
the first time I
amazing.
Went to Clarence, it took my breath away.
When did you go to Clarence? Was it winter or summer?
I went in summer because I was wearing a dress
oh, yeah?
in the pictures, so that's how I remember. But
and it's beautiful in summer and winter, by the way.
But you know what? Because I was doing a speaking tour, so I went from the University of the Free State and we had to stop over in Clarence to go to... Yes. Yes.
Please. Please forgive
me.
She's from Racing.
We don't pronounce our clicks there. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. And we stopped over in Clarence. And I remember thinking, what a picturesque town.
Yes, yeah, beautiful.
It is the most gorgeous. Everything. You want to take a picture of everything, the roads,
yes.
the people, the lost
the people?
Stores. I'm telling you, the people are so friendly in Clarence. Maybe
okay.
it's because I can't say.
And they were patient with you, they were like, oh, okay.
And did you see how much snow there was over the weekend in Clarence? It was insane. There was so much snow down there. So it's beautiful. So it feels
yeah,
like...
Yeah, in winter, it's amazing. It's like a winter wonderland.
Yeah, and oh, I love man, that there's go. A little German restaurant there. They do the Wurstenkraut, and I love...
What's a Wurstenkraut?
Wurstenkraut is like... It's German food, and it's like... I think it's like a pig. Pig with like...
Which part of the pig?
Interesting question. I don't know, but I eat it. I eat it all. Like, I love my food.
Where did you grow up, by the way?
I grew up in Mpumalanga, actually.
Okay,
in a little
which
town
part?
Called Kriel.
Kriel
in Mpumalanga. I stayed there with my aunt and uncle during the week, and on weekends I spent in Johannesburg. And then I also
the bright lights, and you got to see the bright lights.
So it was Joburg and Kriel, and then I was in Oggies for a short little while. Then I was in Witbank. So
hang
I'm
on, where's Oggies?
Oggies in the middle of nowhere.
I've heard of this place called Oggies.
Oggies, trust me, you don't even want to know.
It's a little one horse town.
It's a one horse town. So I've lived in lots of places, but mainly Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of seen the smaller towns, the big cities like Joburg and Cape Town.
Don't you feel like there's an advantage to that?
Definitely. You've really seen South Africa. Don't you feel like you've seen South
Africa? Absolutely. I feel like I've got the best of both worlds because I'm half half boer, half Englishman. So half plaas Maisie.
And
my mom's a boer and my pa is a Soti. So my dad's born and bred in Nottingham, England.
Oh, wow.
And my mother's down here in South Africa. And obviously my mom, Afrikaans side of the family, all in South Africa. My father's all in England. So he's one of 11 brothers and sisters. My mother's one of 5. So I come from
a
very large family.
Heritage Day is tough for you, isn't it?
Look, but I feel quite blessed because I was so, how can I say, when I went to England and I lived there, it's a completely different way of life. And I love the way that everybody's so diverse and so more open-minded. Mm. I just felt growing up in an Afrikaans household in South Africa, people could be a little bit narrow-minded.
Okay.
Yes. And finding my roots, my English roots, opened a door of possibilities that I didn't even know existed.
But which part of England did you go to? Because, I mean, I suppose if you go to a London, of course,
everyone's
very
retro.
Open-minded. But if you go to a small town, it's not quite the same.
So I traveled quite a lot. I was in the restaurant industry there, and I was based in Liverpool, but I traveled to Manchester, to
the big towns.
To London. Yeah. So I did a lot of traveling, which was great. I got to see, and I can't believe how passionate those people are about their sports. I thought that we were passionate. No, we've got nothing on them, man.
Mm.
These men cry. The first time they took me to Everton to watch Liverpool play, they asked me, what do you think? And I was like, the grass is so nice. And green. That's all I had to say.
You clearly have not gone to a rugby game at Loftus and seen the Bulls lose.
Or the cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
The
Bulls.
I don't even know who they are.
I love how you threw Bulls losing out there.
Bulls losing. Hey, I'm a proud Bulls supporter.
Yeah,
okay?
I am too, you know.
I am
and
a proud
and I just,
Bulls
like, it's
supporter.
Very rare for them to lose, except lately. Mitch, thanks for throwing that in.
Thanks for having that in, Mitch.
So, yes, when they lose, it's a surprise.
Don't worry, I'm a proud Lions supporter, and it was a very long stretch of losing, so I'm quite happy that
So, right now, you're just like, we're alive. Yeah. But you had a tough 3-4 years.
Yeah, we had a really tough time. And I tell you took a lot of flack for being a Lions supporter.
I know. Right now, I wish I was a Lions supporter. Really do. Because it's like, things have turned around for you guys.
It was an amazing season.
Yeah, and I was that guy who would like rub it in, you know? So, yeah, I'm
and
sorry.
And I was that guy that would take it. So, yeah. It's okay, don't worry.
Okay.
And you, Candace, who do you support?
Oh, did you see I was silent
I was
there?
Very
because
quiet.
I'm asking. This is why I'm asking.
I do not support
the winning
sports.
Team. Whoever's wearing the nicest tops.
Yeah, I'm very much more fashion orientated.
Oh, okay, well, we're going to get out of here. That was a fun show. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We look forward to a great evening on Saturday.
Yes.
If you're not invited, you can't come through the gate, so don't even try. And if you are, please make sure you do come because, like, we're paying for the numbers. Like, that's just rude if you don't come.
And don't forget to get his gift at home registry. But please don't get it before 2 because I need to get the cheap stuff. Okay?
Thanks, Candace.
Bye.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yes.
We'll give you a breakdown of what happened. Who
yes.
got drunk, who got crunk, and who did what with who.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Ciao.
This is CliffCentral.com.